This is a replay of the Wednesday night, January 8th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
It's going to go bad, I can tell. This is going to be an interesting night all the way around. It is the Raleigh James Show. Yeah, what else could it possibly be? And a number of things, got a number of your requests to play. Of course, if you want to call, I'd love that. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Thanks to Carol Ford's incredibly good show prep, I have the answer to Ruth's question about New Year's Eve lucky charms, things they do around the world for New Year's Eve to ensure luck. So if she calls, we'll share that with her. But I came across this, foods that look like the body part they benefit. Yeah, I know. They've run out of things to write about. But as I was looking at this, I said, you know, they really kind of do. Walnuts look like our brains, but apparently in a 6-month randomized controlled trial, they found that eating 30 grams of walnuts a day improved intelligence and attention in adolescents compared to control groups. Now, this next one, sweet potatoes look like pancreas. I don't know about you, but I do not like sweet potatoes. I don't care what they do for my pancreas. But in case you do like them, apparently, and you know, your pancreas is in charge of a number of things, including secreting insulin and those wonderful digestive enzymes and stabilizing your blood sugar levels and your ability to digest fat. So you need your pancreas. No doubt about it. You have to have one. Sweet potatoes, research in animals shows that the low carbohydrate nutrients found in sweet potatoes, such as potassium and beta-carotene and vitamin B6, naturally help regulate glucose, reducing the workload of the pancreas. I love this. Avocado uterus. Yeah, so guys, I guess you're out in the benefits, so there's probably others as well. But UCLA did a study, and you really wonder who gives people these grants, but whether avocados enhance the reproductive system. An avocado tree blossom takes 9 months to fully mature into a fruit. And they're saying, yes, they're full of monounsaturated fats and help with hormone production. So I don't know that an avocado does look like a uterus, but I can say I haven't seen my share of them. That's for sure. They also have a good natural source of folate, which is good. And that supports DNA replication, all that. Tomatoes are good for your heart. And they say when cut open, the tomato resembles the four chambers of the heart. You know, this might be in the category of too much information. I'm not sure I want to eat them again after that, but there are well-studied benefits on decreasing cardiovascular diseases, published in Food Chemistry, a journal that I'm sure is spellbinding. But when tomatoes are eaten with a healthy fat, such as olive oil or avocado, the aforementioned avocado, research in 2021 says the amount of lycopene delivered to the body increases significantly, and that's a fat-soluble compound that's necessary. Ginger, they say, is good for the stomach. Ginger varies in shape, but they say it's generally similar to the shape of a human stomach. Obviously not the kind that I see in the grocery stores, at least, God, I hope not. The digestive organs, especially the stomach and intestines, are where ginger's most beneficial action occurs. And of course, they've been using medicinally for thousands of years for nausea and vomiting relief and all that. So another one of these spellbinding journals, Nutrients, did a study and pointed out that the anti-vomiting action has been used for pregnancy nausea, motion sickness, relieving side effects, and more of chemotherapy and such. So, of course, I like dried ginger, but, you know, it's probably for the sugar on it. Kidney beans, and that's not necessarily good for you. Kidney beans are good for your kidneys. And of course, they got their name from the kidney shape, so that's no shock there. But a cholesterol intervention study published in Lipids, another spellbinding journal, showed how beneficial it was to rats. But according to other research, it's really beneficial to people too, due to the antioxidants and stuff like that. They say that olives resemble the ovaries. There again, don't ask me, but apparently the female reproductive system is exactly what olives and olives oil support. So back to nutrients, that Spellbinding Journal found that olive oil offers other benefits for women's health, especially in fighting breast cancer and postmenopausal osteoporosis. Carrots. Now, when I first looked at this and it said carrots resemble the eyes, I'm like, what? Well, actually, it's true. If you slice the carrot, what you see is something that does resemble the eye. It looks like the iris and the pupil, and those are the body parts they support. And so there was a 2021 large research study that showed what people had been suspecting. The antioxidants are terrific for your eyes, and they help lower inflammation in any part of the body as far as that goes. And carrots, of course, are high in beta-carotene, which converts into vitamin A, and that and vision are well known. Ginseng is good for the nerves, and they say ginseng is an herb that looks like and supports the central nervous system. No, I'm sorry. That's out on a limb for me. Yes, I then again, I must admit, I guess I haven't seen a diagram of the entire central nervous system on paper, but something tells me the first thing I would think was not ginseng. All right, but apparently ginseng does support the central nervous system. Celery looks like bones. Well, I could see that. And particularly popular in China, don't you know? And multiple studies in another spellbinding journal, the Journal of Functional Foods, found that celery contains a couple kinds of flavonoids with antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties that effectively inhibit bone cell breakdown. So there you have it. Foods that look like body parts. Oh, I'm sure we could go on. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Well, of course, it is, as you know, it is the 8th of January, which means it's Val Shively's birthday. It's also Elvis's birthday. All right, and Ed, I think, wants to talk about that. So hello, Ed.
Elvis. Also, David Bowie's birthday.
That's right.
And also Little Anthony Gourdin of Little Anthony in the Imperials, keeping it in a doo-wop R&B soul mode, okay?
Yes.
Shirley Bassey.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read this. Luther Perkins, Johnny Cash's original lead guitarist.
Mm-hmm. And you got others as well, as you probably know. Bill Graham, the concert promoter, the Fillmore owner and all that. Bob Eubanks, the game show host.
Yes.
Marcus Hudson of the Whispers. Yeah, that's my fave of the list. And so there it is. And so what else? Elvis, of course. And Soupy Sales.
Oh, that's right. You know, Soupy Sales, you know, I'm calling from Cleveland area. In fact, Brunswick, Ohio. I called you probably about 5 years ago. You and I have a mutual acquaintance, Tim Tilson.
Sure.
Top Shelf Oldies.
Absolutely.
Well, I am now on a station called Oldies and More.
Uh-huh. Tell me about it. What's the URL?
Okay. Well, I can spell it out for you. Oldies N, not and, not ampersand. It's an N.
Okay.
OldiesNmore.com.
Okay. I'm looking right now.
It's based out of Syracuse, New York. That's where our director is out of. And it's an oldie station that has different live shows and a few pre-recorded things. I used to do a regular rockabilly show on Sunday afternoons, but because of some other commitments, I'm now down to what you would call pinch hit status.
Okay.
So tomorrow afternoon from 5 to 7 EST, I'm going to be playing doo-wop for a couple of hours.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. Now, I'm at the trying to find it right now, and all they're telling me is Safari can't find the server. So I'm doing something wrong. OldiesNmore.com.
I'm sorry, sweet. Radio. It's OldiesNmoreRadio.com.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Well,
that
would help. All right, so now we have it. Oldies and More Radio. All right, so we're welcome and there, and let's look, because they've got a schedule, so let's find you on the schedule.
I'm not really on the schedule. The guy that I'm doing it for, his name, his last name is Ward. He does a show on Thursday afternoons called the Doo-Wop Corner. Okay. And since he's unable to do the show, since I'm not doing anything else tomorrow at that particular time, I'm going to take the reins of it and play a couple of hours of doo-wop.
Okay.
And doo-wop oriented, I've got to play a couple of Bretton Wood tracks.
Well, of course you do. That's right. That's all we did last night. Full Bretton Wood, all Bretton Wood,
you know,
all the time.
It's really weird. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I ordered a copy of his greatest hits album, the one that Original Sound put out years
right,
ago.
Right, right. That's the 18, the great 18. Yeah.
Well, they put that out in vinyl, on yellow vinyl.
Uh-huh.
And the sound quality is to die for.
Yeah.
All right. And so I got this a couple of weeks ago, and now that he's gone, unfortunately, there were some tracks that aren't, like, for instance, one of the ones I'm going to play tomorrow, I Want Love is not on there.
Right, I played that. Well, you know why? You do understand why there's stuff not on it.
Because of different recording.
It was on Brent. It was on Brent. They didn't get the rights.
Right, because the Original Sound had the double shot.
Yeah, all of the double shot, sure.
You know, maybe I think you probably would agree with me. He would have been a bigger artist had he been on a bigger label.
Well, nobody was interested. And it's
really
sad. You know, he was recording since the 50s. He was Little Freddy originally on the Chief label. I played Too Fat, you know.
That Chief label is not the same Chief label out of Chicago.
No, it is not. Then he went to Brent, and that's where Hideaway. Now, Hideaway might be on that 18. I don't know. But,
no, it's not.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He was on Juan for one release.
Yes, one release. Okay. But that was a bought track, yes. But then, of course, 67 really was the year for him on Double Shot. And 68, too, to an extent. But Brent came back in 67 when he was real hot with what they had on a master. That's where Sweet Molly Malone comes in.
Later,
he started his own label, Mr. Wood. And it's funny, if you have that single, and I do, on Mr. Wood, he's got his address and his phone number on it. Now, it wasn't where he was living, sadly, when he died, but it was his address in 1973, You're Beautiful.
I remember he did a single on Cream Records in 77. It was a remake of Come Softly.
Right. There are a number if you start to look at that. You know, it's interesting because he had tried so hard. He gets on Double Shot. He has that hit and then hits, really. Oogum Boogum, Give Me a Little Sign, Baby, You Got It, in particular. But then he tried and tried and tried and you know, basically nobody was interested. And eventually he just left the music business. He said, screw it. And he can thank Art LeBeau, because when you look at the titles of those Brenton Wood records, they're perfect for Art LeBeau's Requests and Dedications. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I think you got your fools mixed up. It doesn't get better than that, you know, or as we were playing last night, the soliloquy from Me and You. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
a little lightweight thing
one.
Going on.
I'm going to play that. I'm going to play those two. I'm going to play I Want Love and Me and You. Now, Me and You, I first heard because his music was very much geared towards the East LA.
Well, no. See, now that's interesting. It wasn't originally. That's not the two guys who own Double Shot, Hooven and Wynn, they produced it and all that stuff. And then, of course, Irwin Zucker, Promotion in Motion, did the promotion on it. But they were looking for mass appeal records. But what happened later, Art LeBeau discovered it. And if you listen to the East LA stuff, sure, you got the Midnighters or the Era or several groups like that. But most of the stuff you hear that's East LA was never meant for East LA, like Oh My Angel by Bertha Tillman, one of the all-time perfect records.
Oh, my God. Talking about Brent records. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Well, all that Brent stuff, you know, that was all J.J. Jackson stuff. But most of the, you get the Makings of a Lover by the Festivals, you know, that was a Dallas record, for God's sakes. But East LA would pick up on these things, and either Huggy Boy or Art LeBeau would play them, and invariably some of them would really hit. And so, but most of East LA, they were not meant to be. And Brenton Wood, you know, when Art got a hold of him and started to put him on some of his, you know, not only the compilation albums, but some of his compilation concerts. That literally changed his life. He became, you know, in East LA, a hero as far as that goes. And
because, Catch You on the Rebound, on the other hand, is a perfect beach record.
Well, yes, and Catch You on the Rebound is my all-time favorite record, actually, as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. And Brent Wood re-recorded all this stuff in 1986, and I've got it, actually. It was an album called Out of the Woodwork. And I don't have it at this studio. I have it at the other studio. Otherwise, I would have played some of that. But there was some really sweet things on, you know, normally I say, oh, God, you're recreating something. Give me a break. But really, really nice things on that. So that's worth hearing, too. And a nice version of Catch You on the Rebound.
Yeah, and it's a shame that some of the artists, and another artist I could think of that was severely underrated was Joe Simon.
Yeah, well, that was Soundstage 7. That was Nashville. And that was John R.'s label under the auspices of you know, the guy
Monument
who owned Monument.
Record,
Monument. I can't, Fred Foster, that was his name, Fred.
Fred Foster, yeah.
They tried a lot. There's also some Joe Simon on Spring.
Right. But, the Soundstage 7, you know, that's 60s Southern soul vibe, which, you know, is completely different from Motown. And of course, you know, people don't, speaking of which, you know, the late President Carter was a distant relative of Berry Gordy Jr. through his mother's side of the family.
Yes, I was aware of that. Absolutely. If you go back far enough, we're all related to each other.
Of course, I called to talk about Elvis's birthday and everything up. But, you know, when I saw the playlist from last night, it was something that, you know, once you get into a, like Brenton Wood, you know, you could go down a rabbit hole as far as finding, you know, stuff that you like for instance, Me and You, Catch on the Rebound, Take a Chance, which is one, you know, you mentioned Brent Records, and of course, you know, I was going to mention one of my, you know, the Bertha Tillman record, Oh My Angel, is one of my favorite all-time oldies.
Me too. And if you've heard, I went ahead and said, I just love this. I have to hear the rest of everything she's done. No, this was a one-off, truly.
you don't like I Wish?
Not really. Not anywhere near like All My Angel.
Oh, because that's to me, that's equally as good. Now the I Don't Care for the Flip Side. You know, she was one of those that probably was more suited towards ballads than up-tempo stuff. Because, you know, there are certain soul, you know, artists or R&B artists that, you know, their ballads you could listen to all day, but once they do an up-tempo, you know, thing, forget it.
Oh, yeah, and vice versa. That's 100% true. Speaking of that, do you know Joe Simon's When? It was the flip of That's the Way I Want Our Love.
No, but there was another song he did. The Hush label.
You got to hear some of When, because this is the most undiscovered Joe Simon record, and it is just. In fact, Tim Tilson, he heard it on KJ and actually contacted me and said, "Who was that?" Oh, that was Joe Simon. All right. Yeah.
Men, women, and children, that celebration. I hear the banker joking with the plumber. I see preachers smiling by the number. Everybody believe it's a wonder.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, you're killing me with that. You're killing me.
Yeah.
That is just, you know. And there was another one, and I can't remember the title, but a flute in the background. And the title escapes me right now, but it was. There was a compilation.
Oh,
I think it was.
I'll tell you what's escaping me right now. John just came in and said, "You're blowing the news again, Raleigh." So I gotta go so WGN can do the news. Call me again soon.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Hello, baby. Yeah, big jungle speaking. You sweet thing. Do I work?
lace and a pretty face and a bonnet tail. Hanging down, there's a wiggle and a walk and a giggle in the tall low. I make the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big eyed girl. They may act so funny, spend my money. They may feel revolution like a long neck loser. Like, oh, baby, that's the word I like. What's that, baby? But oh, honey, but baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail. Hanging down, there's a wiggle and a walk and a giggle in the talk. Low, it makes the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big eyed girl. When I act so funny, spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long neck goose. Like, that's what I like.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I normally wouldn't play that, that's for sure, but that's one of Jim's requests, and we hope Jim is doing better today in Richmond, Wisconsin. But yeah, he loves his Shanana, and he likes stuff where Jocko sang lead, and there aren't many, but that is one that was recorded live, and that was on the Golden Age of Rock and Roll album, Kama Sutra, 1973. But Jocko, he's still with us, Jarn Marcellino, interesting guy. Grew up in the Boston area. He was the drummer also for Shanana, but and did some vocals like that. But he wound up at Columbia University. He graduated class of 72 and then got a master's degree at NYU. So pretty accomplished. And of course, was one of the founders of Shanana. And in the summer of 69, while he was still in college, they were performing at Woodstock. Now, there's a pairing, right? And it was only their eighth performance. And so so it was as of 2022. They said, we're not touring anymore. But they had until then. And he does have a side band, by the way, the rhythm and blues band, Jocko and the Rockets. And he's also done quite a bit of acting, you know, a lot of one-shots like NYPD Blue and Ally McBeal and that kind of stuff. But lives in La Jolla and still very much with us. So hopefully Jim is as well. And you too. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. So yes, Elvis would have been 89 today. Born in 1935 in Tupelo, of course, grew up in Memphis, and is a shock to most of us. He died in 1977, just 42 years old, at home at Graceland, and you know all the particulars, so I'll spare you that. But what's interesting to me is that if you remember it, that if you were old enough to, you know, be an adult and alive and aware at the time of his death, it really was a very different world for Elvis. Because, you know, of course, in the 50s and the early 60s, I mean, Elvis was everything. And then he had that period in the movies and stuff like that. But he kind of became a caricature of himself. And there were a lot of people who found him laughable, frankly. And, you know, some of those Las Vegas, and he did. He was the International, which became the Las Vegas Hilton. He was their regular for years. And he sold out those shows. I mean, believe me, everybody coming in from Iowa went to those shows and everybody else, too. So not to demean that. But at the same time, at the time of his death, his fame and was just a shade of his former self. And what happened after that, and I don't know that much about the particulars of who else was involved, but through her advisors, his ex-wife turned out to turn Graceland into a multi-million dollar tourist attraction, and also to really revive his name to the point that there arguably was a lot more money coming in after his death than when he was hot. So I don't know, but either way, he didn't make it very long in 1977. Yeah, August 16th. I remember I was on the air in Indianapolis when he died. All right, and of course, you know, that's all we talked about for days. Marcellino has a sister who's a nun, a Benedictine nun, Mother Noella Marcellino, and she's an international cheese expert. In fact, there was a PBS documentary on her, The Cheese Nun. So that's interesting, going back to Shanana. All right, so, but I digress, which I'm incredibly good at, unfortunately. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And again, I'll save the New Year's, what we call them, not so much celebrations, but the traditions where luck would be brought if you did something. Well, we've got a number of them for Ruth when she calls. And if it's on your mind, well, that's even better. 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. And oh yeah, I got plenty more to talk about, but I'd love to hear from you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Four Tops. And yeah, Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear that. That was a somewhat obscure. It was a flip side, actually. And that was the flip of Loving You is Sweeter. So 1966 Motown. And I think that was also on the Four Tops second album, but I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look it up. But in any way, it certainly was that flip side. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Email's gotten away from me again. No great shock there. And so I was trying to find a message that I thought that I had sequestered aside so we could talk about it, because I thought it was just fascinating. And it's a doctor who, quote unquote, caught cancer from a patient. And it's a fascinating story. It's not, you know, quite as it sounds, but in a way, yeah, it actually is. So I'll find it here. Oh, here we are. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Then we'll talk to Cindy in Chicago. This is absolutely shocking, because no one in the medical world believes that you catch cancer. And I know there are wives' tales, and there are individuals who might think that that's the case. But established protocol is that that's impossible. Well, this was Germany, and it was a surgeon who was performing surgery on a 32-year-old man suffering from a rare cancer, and he accidentally transplanted the disease into himself. What happened was cells from the patient's tumor seeped into a cut on the surgeon's hand. Now, by the way, I have no idea how that cut was exposed and what was going on there, but despite immediate disinfection and bandaging, the 53-year-old doctor noticed a hard lump developing at the base of his middle finger 5 months later, and a hand specialist identified the lump as a malignant tumor, which was genetically identical to the cancer suffered by his former patient. And doctors treating him concluded that he contracted that cancer when his patient's tumor cells seeped out into the cut, theoretically into the bloodstream. But again, you know, you'd think normally, aren't they gloved? But whatever the situation was, that's really the first time we've heard about this, because the body typically rejects any foreign tissue during a traditional transplant. And so the same would be expected here, that whatever was going into the wound would be just rejected automatically by the body. But apparently, the surgeon's hand had an ineffective immune response, to say the least. And so it was in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it's been a while ago, but now the idea is that, yes, accidental transplantation of a malignant fibrous histiocytoma is possible. So the surgery, by the way, for the patient was effective, but he succumbed to other complications. And later, when the physician discovered he had the exact same cancer, it sparked quite a bit of intrigue, to say the least. And looking at the tissues under a microscopic review, they were identical. And so there's a rare cancer, only about 1,400 people a year in the world. So they're thinking that the tumor had mechanisms to avoid being destroyed by the immune system. So the deal is, fortunately, that the surgeon showed no further signs of cancer after the cancerous lump was removed. In his case, probably an in situ situation. So all was well there. But geez, Louise, you don't expect to hear that. 888-876-5593. Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Okay. Are you there?
Yes, are you?
Yes, but anyhow, you have to remember I majored in accounting and math and computer. I'm not a very demonstrative. It's hard for me to express. I will try to express the best I can for what I want to say to Jim. One time I gave up when I became disabled and I knew what I needed. I needed to just rest. And I think he's taken in a lot of advice, a lot of things, and he just needs to slow down a little, rest, orientate himself, and just slowly let himself heal emotionally and take his time, and he'll be okay. I mean, it's just,
well,
I mean, that's how life is. There's hard stuff. I mean, there's hard, you know.
Well, I think in Jim's case, it's not entirely as simple as that. It's good advice, but
no.
Jim is in a situation where he is totally losing his sight, and he has absolutely no wherewithal to navigate life. And of course, we've tried to tell him that there are many things that he could, and I know there are, he could adapt. But the other thing is, he's sitting there in Richmond, Wisconsin, in a situation where he's largely isolated. And so he's looking at it, in fact, that there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. And I hope that he can get a handle on it. And like I say, move to a more populated area, somewhere where he's got other people that can be a support system. And I don't mean just the friends that he's known in the past, and hopefully develop the backbone to tackle and learn all the things that will make life accessible to him. You know, there's a horrible learning curve on that, and I understand that, but it is so worth it. You know, there are so many things now that make life very accessible to people who cannot see. And, you know, Jim is somewhat resistant to really being on board for that. And until he does that, you know, relaxing's not going to help that much, because he's in trouble.
Oh. Well, I really understand where he's coming from, because I take Sanity from a bottle every day.
Okay.
I mean, I do. You know, I mean, you know, he's losing his vision, but if I didn't have my medication, I would just be in another world.
Right, right. But when you do have your medication, you're able to navigate your life. And Jim's in a situation where he's not. And until he's willing to take the responsibility, rather than depend on anyone else, take the responsibility to say, I am going to learn to use accessibility help so that I can be independent. He has to make that commitment, and I don't hear that.
Yeah, I understand, but you have to understand he's older, and the thing about it is, I took computer classes in college, and it's really hard for me to get on board with the new technology.
Oh, no, I understand it all.
I have to project my mind.
Right, but I understand every bit of it. But you see, there's no choice here. He needs to make the commitment that he's going to do it. because
I'm going to pray for him.
Oh, yes.
He's such a sweet man.
Yeah. Hopefully he's willing to, and he says, I'm done. And I understand that when you're at that point where you're done. And I hope that that's just the frustration and to an extent fear as well talking. But until he makes that commitment, though, it won't get better. It can't. And okay. So, you know, I pray
maybe
for him as
move,
well.
Maybe he'll move, you know, maybe well, he'll move.
I would like that. He's been resistant to it, but I would like that. And again, I'm not suggesting he go into a facility or a home or anything like that. No way. I understand.
No,
absolutely not. But there are still many situations where you can be much more accessible to services and people and transportation than you are in Richmond, Wisconsin. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Appreciate the call. And thanks for Karen.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, I hope it's just that Jim's taken some time off because he didn't call when we played his Chantilly Lace with Jocko on lead. But hopefully all's well. So, yeah, Marcus Hudson of the Whispers would have been 82 today, born in 1943 in St. Louis, and, of course, made his way to South Central L.A. and the Scott twins, Scotty and Walter. And been gone since 2000, 57 years old. And Gordy Harmon, he just died last year, almost a year ago exactly, died on January 5th last year. And Nick Caldwell died at 2016. But the Scott brothers and Lavelle Degree are still with us and still performing. And, yeah, man, the Whispers on Dory, that was just the best period, absolutely. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. So... You know, I make no sin of the fact that I don't fly commercially. The last time I did was 1990. I got off the plane and said, I'm done, much like Jim said. And I never went back to it. I'm just not. Well, now there's a business class passenger who's banned from all United Airlines flights. Business class passenger. What did he do? He urinated on another passenger during a long-haul flight. Apparently... The fellow passenger was Jerome Gutierrez, who was asleep. It was a San Francisco to Manila flight, and he woke up soaked from the stomach down in another man's urine. This was 4 hours into a 15-hour red-eye journey, leaving Mr. Gutierrez to endure the remainder of the flight in damp, smelly clothing. And the man who urinated on him was a complete stranger. Instead of using the restroom, he just stood up and relieved himself directly onto Mr. Gutierrez. All right, Mr. Gutierrez's stepdaughter said he was asleep. He was buckled in. He was surprised when he looked at the man and thought he was dreaming. Jerome realized he was soaked from his stomach down in that man's urine. United Airlines warned the victim not to approach the urinating man for fear of a confrontation that could turn violent. Well, yeah, you're on the flight. Where are you going to go? And his stepdaughter said, I'm so disgusted and in shock with how United handled this. That's a biohazard. The plane should have been turned around to address the issue. They put the needs of the airline before my stepdad's health. And I would say, yeah, there is an issue. But United Airlines said, well, we banned the passenger. That would be Anusha Rasta. Has been banned. No, wait, that's the spokesperson for United. I'm sorry. Oh, who knows? All right, so Anusha Rasta is the United spokesperson. I guess they're not naming the perpetrator. So, you got a lot of other airline passengers behaving badly. So there's no shortage. I'm telling you, I'm not getting on these planes. All right, so what else? Oh, then we have really bad news. Well, if you're the lottery player, that is a $138 million Powerball lottery jackpot is lost forever after the ticket sold in Walmart expired. Oh, no. Now, from what I understand, the Powerball ticket was purchased worth $138 million, and the winner never came to collect the money. It was announced that this is out there, so the prize has now officially expired, with the ticket holder who probably has no idea they won, having no rights to the money. So a Walmart in Huber Heights, Ohio, on July 3rd, 2024. And I selected an auto pick ticket at the Supercenter and got all of them, the five numbers and the Powerball. And he beat the odds of a lot. Yeah, a lot. Let's just go with that. What, 292,201,338 or something like that. It's ridiculous odds. In any event, he could have gone for the cash option of $65.5 million. I hope whoever this is never finds this ticket. I hope that they can live the rest of their lives in bliss. Because can you imagine finding out that you blew it that way? No. Absolutely not. Well, somebody did. All right, 888-876-5593. Another 2 hours to spend with you right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Berry Gordy wrote it. Berry Gordy produced it. And in 1961, the Supremes sang it, don't you know? And that was another Sergeant Pappy request. And actually, it was a B-side to probably a little better-known obscure Supremes record, if that's not an oxymoron. I Want a Guy. Yeah, that was the B-side, Never Again. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, you've heard about Munchausen's by proxy, right? Where parents, to for their own reasons, to get attention or whatever, will in fact inject things into their children to make them sick. You've heard these stories ad nauseum, really, sadly, and they all are nauseating, that be known. Well, now we have Tarrant County, which is basically Fort Worth, Texas, where a grandmother had brought her 7-year-old child to the hospital. And at first, doctors couldn't figure this out. There were ulcers, there was GI tract, there was damage to the colon, there was damage to the lower intestine. And after that, the grandmother pushed for a feeding tube to be inserted in this child. Well, it turns out she wanted a feeding tube in the child so she had a better delivery system for, you won't believe it, yes, Mean Green Degreaser. That's right. Yeah. The family came up with a theory, actually, where they were watching this and they're saying, we think grandma's poisoning her. And they did an investigation. And yes, she was, grandma was sending a degreaser, alkaline, obviously, down the feeding tube. And so, needless to say, medical child abuse, to say the least. But what is startling is, firstly, why did the doctors place the unnecessary gastric feeding tube there to begin with? And you know, but they did, and they were at a loss what was going on. And it wasn't until the family intervened and said, you know, we have a problem here. And the grandmother had been taking care of this child since it was an infant. And so when it went to the hospital in 2003, severe dehydration, vomiting, diarrhea, and doctors were completely baffled because what was presented as the illness didn't match any known medical diagnosis. Well, yes, because there's no diagnosis for pouring Mean Green Degreaser down the feeding tube. You really gotta wonder. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we've got Fran in Austin. Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. It didn't seem like a lot of people were calling, so I thought, you know,
Right, absolutely nothing. I'll be reading the phone book before the night is out.
Oh, man. I really enjoyed last night's show with all the Bretton Woods. Some of those I'd never heard.
Oh, good.
And so now I've got to go and find myself a collection or something. You know, not greatest hits, set or something.
Well, no, there's actually that Art LeBeau CD has 18 of the cuts on it, and that's probably really cheap. I don't know if there's any CDs of that other album he released of the recreations, but I'll play that one night so you hear some of those too.
All right. And I had a couple of requests. I don't know who did this, but I came in and there's a song all called You Tickle Me Baby When You Try to Tell Me What to Do.
Really? Oh, I love this. I'd have no idea. Have we tried to Google the lyrics or anything?
No, I haven't. I was sure you'd know it because it sounded like it was something that had been pretty popular. But so I just thought, oh, Raleigh will know it.
No,
I didn't.
I wonder what this is. I'm seeing if anything comes up. Oh, the Royal Jokers on Fortune.
All right.
I mean, if that's the case, probably I should, just be flogged for not knowing this. Oh, that's that's really, really bad. Oh, man. Oh, God. Here it is.
I was sure that it was something you knew.
Yeah, worse than that, I've got it. All right. That's right. I've got it on vinyl. Yes. Oh, God. And yes. I'll be happy to play it. God, that's how embarrassing. How truly embarrassing.
Yeah, I only heard part of it, and I got to hear the rest of that. I love that.
Yeah, well, how can I not remember the Royal Jokers? That's horrible.
Well, the other night, how did I not remember the Shangri-Las?
Yeah, well, good point. That absolutely would be. Fortune released this a couple times, too.
The mind is a terrible thing to lose.
Yes, right, exactly. So, I've got it on Fortune 1963, which I've got the flip sides, You Came Along. But I just looked it up. Now, this is interesting to me because apparently ATCO released it in 1955. I don't know if it's the same. Now I got to find out if it's the actual same record. But
Sounds like it would be something that was earlier than 63,
Yeah, but if it was on Fortune, then again, Fortune might have leased it to ATCO. And then that happens for okay, so we have to find out what the deal is here. Oh man, that's yes, you'll hear it next. I'll make up for my wanton ways.
Okay. And also Walking in Rhythm.
Okay, Blackbirds. All right.
Yeah. All right. And I also wanted to mention you did a show a couple years ago and I really enjoyed it. It was on duos.
Oh, okay.
You think you ever might consider doing something like that again? I loved that show.
More duos. Okay. I don't even remember doing it. But, of course, the reality is even when I write the little synopsis on my website, which goes with the download, by the time I'm writing that, the show's only 20 minutes over. I don't remember anything that was on it. It's like I have the ability to just divorce myself from it. And, unfortunately, I do it far too well. Oh, God. Yeah, I'll and the Royal Jokers were a Detroit group too. Oh man! All right, well, now I got to find out how they got onto ATCO. I will do some research. All right.
Yeah, I forget what internet station I was playing. I wasn't playing something around here that was playing that.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, the group wrote it because Noah Howell was in the group and he wrote it. So, and a couple other members. So, I gotta find out what this thing is with ATCO.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Now I've got homework. All right. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Bye. Yeah, so we'll be getting here to, the Royal Jokers, of course, You Tickle Me Baby's coming up next right here on WGN Radio.
You know what?
What?
You tickle me, baby. You tickle me, baby. You tickle me, honey. And I don't mean maybe. You tickle me, baby, when you try and tell me what to do. You must be crazy. You must be crazy. You got to be crazy. And I don't mean maybe. You tickle me, baby, when you try and tell me what to do.
Little and nothing you've done been right. Will you stay out late at night? Well, you know you do me wrong, so you can't be here long. Well, you may as well confess, 'cause you know I've done my best. Well, stay away from me. No, you'll cry and cry, we see. No, you don't mean a thing, 'cause you know you are the friend.
You tickle me, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There they are, the Royal Jokers. And all right, so I did find out that was on Etco, and it wasn't through Fortune Records. They'd been the Serenaders. Well, actually, they'd been a lot of things. But I think the Serenaders, they actually had at least recorded some records, and they were. You know, they were street corner singers and all that kind of stuff, but little label deals here and here that meant absolutely nothing. And right after they had done a session, and actually the record was released, Someday We'll Meet Again, and as far as that goes, but a month after this song was released, they changed their name to the Royal Jokers. And the group said, well, that's because we're funny, man. We do comedy routines on stage. And so, so indeed. And so they were regulars at the Flame Bar. You know, Maurice Wasserman's club, where everybody was discovered, whether it be Johnny Ray or Laverne Baker. But anyway, whose floor manager was Al Green. Now, that's important to the story, not the Al Green who became, you know, who was a singer out of Memphis. This Al Green actually had a connection with Atco, and Atco was a new label at the time. It was something Atlantic was doing, and so he made the connection, and that's how that happened. And they were big locally, and absolutely had no real national presence, which is a shame. So I don't know what to tell you. We could do the rest of their history of what they tried to do, but I think the last time they actually were at a United Group Harmony show. Yeah, that organization in New Jersey when it was around, and they were there as the Royal Jokers, and I think that is the last time probably. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Sergeant Pappy's got some requests. What you got for me?
How's it going there, young lady? And thank you so much for playing them songs.
Oh, sure. Glad you heard them.
Oh, yeah. I got a sip when I have a request. You know, yeah. As much as I like my snake, but that's all right. Had another birthday last month, so I'm another year older.
Oh, well, yes. So, happy. Well, it sure beats the alternatives.
Yeah, I was 78 last month.
All right.
Let's see. Whispering Softly by the Avon.
Okay.
Chapel of Dreams by the Dubs.
Okay.
And Baby Old Baby by the Shell.
Okay. All right.
That'll do it.
All fine songs. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you play that doo-wop so well. You know, Raleigh James After Dark, you know, playing all the doo-wop and stuff, you know, it's got to give you some more doo-wop songs.
Well, I agree, and so I'm so glad you gave me some. But yeah, now I'm really concerned that I didn't remember the Royal Jokers, so I'm not sure how to make amends for that, I guess by playing your requests.
Well, you know, we're only human. I mean, you know, and that's like poor old Jim up there. I mean, you know, I pray for the guy every night, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, life has a lot of turbulence in it. I mean, I went through so many turbulence and stuff. When I came back from Vietnam, you wouldn't believe the stuff I went through. I mean, I more than once thought about ending it all. But, I mean, you know, you just got to grab yourself by your bootstraps and just keep on going. You got to figure out ways to reinvent yourself, you know, because there's a famous baseball player made a statement that, and that's how I live my life. He said, the only person you got to impress is you.
Yeah.
And that was Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just realizing that you are in charge of your life, and it's up to you to make it better.
Right.
You can't just sit there and
that's
think
right.
somebody
that's
else
right. The only person you got to impress is yourself, that's right. And you don't have the right to take his life. Only the man upstairs can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's the way I look at that, too, I'll tell you right now. So, Jim, you know, get up off your dupi and take care of things, buddy.
Yeah, I really hope he will, and I'll keep you
posted. It sounds kind of tough coming from me, but you know, like I said, I had a lot of rough times in my life too, and I just pulled myself up and just kept on going. That's all you can do, you know.
Well, we're promised that we're never given more than we can handle, and so
that's right. That's right. The Lord will never give you more than what He thinks you can handle. It's absolutely right.
Right.
And I thank the Lord every morning when I wake up for another day. I'll tell you right now.
No day
is guaranteed to anybody.
You betcha. And from that standpoint, even if you've lost earthly friends, no one is alone. He's walking
beside
you.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I grew up. I had. Three brothers and a sister, and I lost them all, but my youngest brother was there's only two of us left now, and I was the second oldest.
Oh.
And one of my brothers drank himself to death.
Oh, God. That's so sad.
And then,
you're helpless in those situations.
Oh, yeah. Way. Yeah. And I tried helping that guy so much, and only he kept, you know, because my dad was a pretty heavy drinker, and myself, I haven't had a drink in over 35 years. And when I quit cold turkey, Raleigh. I just said, that's it, I'm not drinking no more. And I just said, that's it. One morning I got up and put my legs on the floor, and I said, that's it, I'm not drinking no more. And that's how I did. I didn't have to go to no meetings or nothing. I just said, I quit cold turkey, and that's all there is to it. You got to get it together and just keep walking, buddy.
Well, no, congratulations, because it sounds like you have embraced sobriety where far too many people who do what you did just become dry drunks.
Yep, that's right, that's right. And you know, when people wanted me to stop after work and stuff, I would go in the tavern with them and I'd say, give me a Coca-Cola. And I'd sit there and drink a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so it's been 35 years since I had any alcohol. I don't plan on having any time soon either, I'll tell you.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you so much for playing my song.
Absolutely.
And you notice I like a lot of those B-sides, huh?
Yeah, I think that's great. And when you request them, I love playing them because they never get any air. So happy to do
that's
it.
That's right, that's right. Okay, right. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful evening, and I'll talk to you later, and God bless you and John, and take care.
All right, you too. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Yeah, all right. So, how nice. Good to hear from Sergeant Pappy, and a happy birthday. So, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And I do believe that Tubby is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you this evening?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
I got my ears are popping. I'm at the end of that stuff. Mm. I didn't chime in. Just one thing I wanted to say was important, and you can put me on hold if you have to.
Oh, yeah, I will have to because the news is going to come up. You're right, but we got a minute.
But first I wanted to say that it's very important that people understand about these critters. My college buddy, my correspondent buddy, she's a doctor, and she said that these critters, they're really strong, but what's going on? And now that the TV's down, I'm listening to WGN. But what they were saying on yesterday, and then I have information, somebody called in on the phone from Lisa D from the virus thing, mm-hmm. about the fire. Okay. But first, washing your hands. People that got used to just sanitizing in and out of places and sanitizing in the bag, it's not enough for the strain that's out here right now.
Oh, I agree. I so agree with that. Not only that. Well, actually, let me do the news, and we'll be right back. Stay right where you are. All right. And we'll do it right after this on WGN Radio.
Every little morning up from San Antonio, everything that I got is just what I've got on. But when the sun is high in the Texas sky, I'll be bucking in the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. I saddled in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe. I lost me wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo on my mind. Amarillo by morning.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's the original. Yeah, George Strait, of course, had a huge hit with it later, but in 1973, Terry Stafford, yes, who you remember for Suspicion, yeah, from 1964, he wrote it and recorded it on Atlantic, and that was a request from somebody. Was that, I think that might have been, let's see, that's right, James on the South Side, who wanted to hear that and thought that Jim in Richmond might like it. He also wanted to hear I'll Touch a Star, which another Terry Stafford. Yeah, so he was not just an Elvis sound-alike. He did a number of other things as well. All right, now we're back to Tubby. All right, Tubby.
All right. Now, let me finish this one statement so that I can get that out of the way. The way it was said pretty much verbatim. The doctor, they had a doctor on there. And he spoke on three levels. The first level he was saying, and I called Sister Mel, and you know, Sister Jean Dolores Smith from Lowell and all that crew, she's a BVM. Anyway, they're my girls. Anyway, so she said, he said, be what I said, you tell them sisters, you know, people are so used to just putting on a sanitizer everywhere, but it's not strong enough. The washing of the hands as much as possible daily, okay?
I agree. And I'll tell you to interject here, there was a guy who started a company actually right after World War II, Five Star Soap, and they basically supplied all the hospitals, and it was pure soap. And and they still make it, by the way. And guy's sadly dead now, but nonetheless, the company, his family still owns it. And what happened, though, in California at some point in the last 4 or 5 decades, they switched to hand sanitizer only from Five Star Soap. And I'll tell you what, hospital-borne infections rose.
Yes.
So, you know, it was after, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but in any event, I still use the soap, Five Star Soap.
I don't go by nobody. I call my friend Dr. Love anyway. I don't do nothing. She is over Veterans in D.C., Employee Health at the Veterans Administration. That was her career.
Uh-huh.
But I don't, she said, them boogers, them, they really are some, you know. And what's coming out now, I'm listening to John Williams and I'm listening to everybody all day. And they said the kids didn't get it. But it would go through whole households and all the adults would get it. And I don't understand it. But also this doctor was also mentioning after the hand washing, he said, of course, and this is for our sweetie Jim too, he said, your diet, of course, and I thank you for that. That was really cool, that first presentation you made on the parts of the body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
And I like that, yeah. I'm going to tell you what I had afterwards. Excuse me. Anyway, then he said your socialization network is so important.
Yes.
And he is so correct. And then the part that Jane gave me. And Jane, I told you, my good friend, she's the one that wrote for Blue Cross, the Joint Commissioners. Jack Cole, she wrote that for them.
Mm.
Okay, I was an administrative assistant at Masonic. And my mother typed over 100 words a minute, Sweet Mary Alice. And we both worked up there. But the whole thing is, We're trying to. Oh, my ears just popped. Good.
Okay.
Now, sweetie pie. Sweetie pie, sweetie pie. We have to have empathy, but people have to find a way. It was Jane who taught me that part of my life, to find my way. Because like I told you, the first time I talked to you, my mama left me on the driveway, but her husband was beating and drinking.
Ugh.
And he would do that. And so my whole childhood, I was running on Battle Creek. I'm just hungry, okay?
Mm.
I learned it so well. So I know there's more to this story. But the point is, I'm just so enormously blessed. But I can't, like that ice skater, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Brilliant little ice skater. I love watching ice skate. And she just, I can't think of her name, but she had to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
She had to handle all her mentality. Okay, my ears popped again. What else I was going to tell you? So your diet, your socialization, and you have to do that. You know, I used to preach on the train. I talk to people all the time, just like that lady I talked to on the train one day. And I talk to people, oh, this is what I want to ask you. What is that man's name they used to call the games out of Detroit back in the day? He was the broadcaster on the radio for the Detroit Tigers. You do baseball? You know baseball?
Well, I used to have to run games 50 years ago, but no. A Detroit play-by-play guy in baseball? What years?
He called back in the... In the 60s, he was calling all the games. He was the head honcho.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Okay.
Anyway, I said,
Was it Ernie Harwell?
Yeah, Harwell. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. As soon as somebody tells me, I know why.
Yeah, Ernie Harwell.
Ernie Harwell. And that was one of the things. Okay, in the program, all this stuff about what it is. Trump is president. People should get all draining their brains and whatever. You know, it's the same kind of maneuver that we do. We move forward, okay?
Yeah.
The level of acceptance you have of yourself in the world, and you move forward, okay? So you find the things that make you comfortable. I found your show.
And I'm so glad you did. I'm really glad you called.
And the TV had to went out. Okay, now back to today. Back to the fire.
Yeah.
They called it the what's the name station. And my girl, Dr. Love, called me. I texted her. I gave her a chance to wake up. And she said, did you hear from... Now, Louis LePage and Dr. Love and her husband, he's from the district, and she's from Chicago, and they stayed there. But see, we went to Antioch in Yellow Springs, and we've been close all these years, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they were getting ready to sit down for their 50th wedding anniversary. And so she texted back. She said, okay, tell me, they're okay. She sent me, linked me a text that they had sent her. Now, back in the day, I had two godsons. One of them belonged to the Harrises out in California. And when you sit at his daddy's kitchen table, you're looking at that rose at the Rose Bowl, okay? And he was telling me that they just parked cars every year. Their whole property was covered with cars that they would park. I immediately got nervous when they started commentating. And then when I went out there, remember I told you I was jumping in the bed because of the hurricane?
Yes.
I mean, the earthquake that day? Well, they were in Altadena at that time. They were two blocks from the San Gabriel Mountains.
And that's on fire right now, sadly.
Yeah, but no. But so the text that came in earlier today from Dr. Love told me that they're on the other side, but the winds are just maddening.
Yeah.
But the Santa Ana winds are maddening. So all of that area, you can imagine what's going through inside of me. But that's for everybody. And you have to hold it. But the other story I was trying to tell you right fast for Jim, ain't nobody going to get up and brush your teeth for you. Ain't nobody going to get up and go to the bathroom for you. Ain't nobody going to get up and shower for you. Ain't nobody can eat for you. And you got to do all the rest too, okay?
Yes.
Those are things you have to do if you want to live. But so, okay, so then I got a call in, and Lynn's not called me from New Orleans. Now, New Orleans, I live in New Orleans, too. So she And we would go to the French Quarter every night to the Café du Monde.
Ah.
It's just like, we were so close, you know, your neighborhood. When you get up and go to the Jewel on the neighborhood grocery store, you know Chicago, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you're up in Edgewater, up here by where I'm at, Rogers Park, you know, I got Jewels all up and down Broadway and shit.
Sure.
It's getting up and going to the store. So Amir and I, every night, we go to the Café du Monde.
Oh, man, beignets. I can just taste them while you're talking.
But guess what? I got one better for you. So anyway, I'm trying to get Elyria to call me back. Okay, now, in New Orleans, because I have not heard from her. I guess what I had to eat tonight, while I was waiting to call you, a Krispy Kreme.
Oh, man. Well, it ain't a beignet, but it's a nice substitute.
Baby, I'm going to tell you, they had them at the restaurant, a whole box. And they said, Margarita, Margarita, tu quieres? I said, yeah, because they know I love chocolate. So I had me a Krispy Kreme. And you know that big sign when you're going from Overlock over to College Avenue?
Yeah.
That big green and red and white sign.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. So,
those are my stories and what I got to say. But we have love for ourselves and then we have love for others.
Yeah. Always good to hear from you, Tubby. Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. All right. Thanks. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Bob is a first-time caller. All right. And so I am trying not to lose Bob. As I say, welcome to WGN Radio, Bob.
Well, thank you. I'm still here.
All right. And I'm glad.
I'm laying in bed trying to recover from this crud that's going around, and it's kicking my you-know-what.
Oh, no, the creeping crud. Yeah, I know. It's the kind of thing where you know you're not going to die, but sometimes you're sorry about it while you're going through the healing.
It's hanging on too long. I can't believe how long it's hanging on. But anyway, I'm an old AM radio guy, so I'm in bed.
All right.
And I turn on my little radio. My kids think I'm crazy, and I just scroll just very,
sure.
Little by little through the
sure,
band.
Sure.
Like, usually it's music. I'm not a big fan of all the talk that's out there, but that's neither here nor there. Music is so I've heard your show before, and for some reason I caught it again tonight. I used to do this when I was 9 years old, listen to WLS.
Sure.
Under the covers,
right,
one of the undercover radio people.
Yes.
And I've heard your show, and the record music talk is intriguing. I'm a 40-year collector now, I guess, which is hard to believe, but I've been chasing stuff for quite a few years. And
okay.
It's always interesting to hear people that have the same passion and that know what they're talking about. I was going to mention the Fortune label, that
oh,
you
yeah,
just
my favorite.
There was a guy in New York City by the name of Billy Miller.
Uh-huh.
And he did a book. He passed away, but he did a book about Fortune that is just...
Is that, I probably have that book. I'm looking at it right now, unfortunately.
Oh, it's like
yes.
A...
Yes, he passed away...
Like I think about 2016. I think they kept working on it after he...
Okay, yes, because they worked on it after that, I know.
Yeah.
It's called Mind Over Matter, which, of course, comes from a Detroit record, a Fortune record. So, Mind Over Matter, it's one of my favorite books.
I've only heard about it. It's kind of, I have to decide whether I want to buy a good music book or records, and so there's always that.
Well, it's
there's always that dilemma.
It's worth it, I think.
Yeah.
And I was going to have, when they finally put it out, I was going to have the people who finished it on the air, and then I got sick, and then after that we never did connect again. And I'm kind of sorry about that, but it's like about $75 or whatever. But man, it's still a great book.
I tell you, and the people that are doing books like that these days now are just, they're just top-notch. There's a guy called Andrew Sandoval out in L.A. that does the Monkees books.
Uh-huh.
Monkees Day by Day, and it's just, I mean, they're the most meticulously researched.
Yeah, right.
And for the, you know, for those geeky fans, you know, you can't get any better than that. So there's a lot of people that are still out there, thankfully, because print, you know, print, as you know, is kind of a dying thing. But yeah, there are people that are still doing just top notch work like that, and my hat's off to them, you know, because.
Oh, absolutely. And there's still people who are putting out CDs, not the major labels and stuff, of the real obscure stuff. You can find it. You can find it easier now than when you were searching for it on vinyl.
Oh, yeah. The other point I was going to make, we were talking about Brenton Wood.
Yeah.
When I first started collecting, which was 80, 81, his records were still brand new. In some, all that double shot stuff, you could still find, like,
oh yeah.
Either it was like back to back oldies, you know how they used to package those.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. I was like, wow, these are like '60s records, and they're for sale here. And but some people keep their catalog going that long. You know, I think Paula is like that. Paula has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Stan the Man, Shreveport, Louisiana.
They never take out print, but.
And I'll tell you, when Paula was hot, when he was running Stan's record shop, I mean, they practically had their own zip code. The mail order at that place was as good as Randy's record shop and Ernie's and everything else.
Right. And, the other point I was going to make about, you know, you said you thought the Fortune record started on Atlanta, on Atco.
Yeah, but it didn't. But it turned out it didn't.
Okay, it didn't.
No, it didn't. But, you know, Deborah would occasionally license some stuff, you know, depending on what it was. Because, of course, one of the problems with Fortune was distribution, obviously. So
Well, the story that I heard was that she thought the catalog was worth a lot more than it was and kind of sat on it and...
Yeah, that was later. But I mean, when Jack and Deborah were first releasing the stuff, you know, when they were releasing it as currents, they just very rarely had the right distribution for that stuff.
And the other thing that kind of blew my mind was I found out that Skeeter Davis did her first record on Fortune.
Yes, absolutely, that's true. Yes, and the Davis sisters.
How weird
yes.
is that? I mean,
absolutely.
You know the just you know how you study stuff. You know those guys. When it came from the South up to Detroit to work.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of hillbillies, you know, pardon the expression, but there was a lot of country music that got made.
Well, sure, Fortune was largely a country label before they ever really wandered into R&B.
Right. And so in my region, there was a place called the Caterpillar Tractor Company.
Uh-huh.
In Peoria, Illinois, East Peoria.
Right, right, exactly.
And so they used to bus people up from the South to work there in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, there's country and western clubs all over the place. And, you know, that's just how it was, just like the people when they move or something, they just pitch a tent wherever they wherever they end up, you
sure.
know.
Sure.
And I always find that very fascinating, you know, that people just they migrate and then they you know, they bring their music with them. I mean,
well, of course they do.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's New Orleans. That's, you know, you can go on and on and on. The other point I was going to make was I've read a lot of, well, Dave Marsh is a critic that I kind of have a love-hate relationship
with. Yeah, I can see why.
But he always, the books that I read, he always talked about the doo-wop revival of the early 60s.
It was the early 70s.
Well, but I'm thinking like those oldies but goodies remind me of you. Wasn't that like a
Little Caesar and
homage?
The Romans? Yeah, but that was yes, and there are a few of those for sure. But
the stuff on the stuff on Delphi where they were
right.
They were celebrating the doo-wop of a few years prior, I guess.
Well. But, I don't know. You know that was Keane and Bob Keane, and he was trying to do anything that would be a hit. You know, I mean, Chan Romero, case in point. So sure. Absolutely, but I don't think it was so much nostalgia, you know, but as far as the real doo-wop revival, and of course, you know, until 1970, we never heard the word doo-wop. It was vocal group harmony, and right. It was Gus Gossard who called it doo-wop, and of course, he went to an untimely demise, to say the least. But that really flourished, and for a lot of those groups, they hadn't worked in a decade, and suddenly they were on, you know, the revival shows, the package tours.
Right. Was there a guy called Lou Silvani that was...
Right. That's more recently, but yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. He had that book, Collecting Rare Records. So he's a guy from Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Queens. And I think that he was one of the people like Jerry Green who were heavily involved in Times Square Records, you know, Sid's group. And so I know he has a lot of that stuff. So absolutely.
Yeah, I just kind of have a passing knowledge about doo-wop because it's not really in my wheelhouse. But like all music, you know, the good stuff is good.
Oh, of course. absolutely. We can argue about which one that is, but yes, there's an awful lot of it. You've ended the hour. I hope you're going to call me soon.
I hope so too. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Call. Okay, bye.
All right.
All right, so nice to meet Bob, and hopefully we'll talk to you next hour here on WGN Radio.
I'll touch a star when your lips touch mine. The first I see in the twilight time. I'll touch a star shining in the sky, but it won't shine as bright as your eyes. Don't make me wait here at heaven's door. It's only one kiss that I'm asking for. I'll touch a star, take it from the blue, and give it with my heart.
WGN Radio, more Terry Stafford, and that's more of James on the South Side's request, 1964 on Crusader. All right, sounding a little more like his Elvis impersonation, which he wasn't trying to do, but he did have an amazing similarity there. And yeah, we will talk more about Elvis. We've got Gary from Austin, but look at this. Jim from Richmond has called us. So, Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Let's just say I apologize to you and John and to your listeners for my actions last night. I guess I tried to follow the lyrics of Whiskey Lullaby, and I super overindulged, and today I've been sick all day.
Oh, I'll bet that's true. Yeah. Yeah, the body's unforgiving when you do that.
Right, and everything was overwhelming and piling up, and then I just said I don't give a crap anymore, and today it's been I can't eat anything today because it makes my stomach upset.
Oh, sure,
but
sure,
tomorrow will be better.
Yes,
you know, I just overindulged. It was just everything's piling up.
Well,
but one good thing is I got a $62 raise on my Social Security today.
Yes, that's right. Your annual increase. That's terrific.
Right. So, yeah. But everything has been too much, you know.
Of course it has.
And then that television set that my nephew gave me, that's over 25 years old,
mm-hmm.
that I, you know, sit 2 feet in front of it to watch the football games. That picture went out. So it was like everything. But I did work a few things out. When we shopped last time at Walmart, I talked to one of the people that picks the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you call them in. And I said, if I was to come here by myself, would somebody walk me through the store and get the stuff on my list? And she said, I'm sure that we could work something out. So I'm working on a lot of things.
Well, good, because, good. I liked the idea when you were starting to order it online so you could actually do that. Those are the things that are going to be really important.
Right, but I have to get a permanent list because my friend is retiring in March who drives me, you know.
Right,
and she's going to be gone the whole summer.
Right.
And she said, you're on your own.
Sure, and I understand that. That's why, you know, this is the time when you have to say, okay, you're going to be independent. And I still say accessibility.
Right.
Now, hopefully, John gave you or you'll take the phone numbers from last night because having somebody close by within 20 miles in Clinton might be a good contact.
I didn't get any phone numbers last night.
Okay, yeah, I know you wouldn't take them, but I'll when we're done, I'll put you on hold, and hopefully John can give you those numbers, and you can be in touch.
I have my friends who drives me now. Her grandson lives in Clinton.
Okay, well, great. Yeah. Now, as I was saying,
her daughter lives across the lake. So
good. Would you ever consider moving away from Richmond?
Okay, now, this has been discussed and all that. I have a house that's 625 square feet.
Uh-huh.
I me and the bank own the house,
uh-huh.
And it's on a lot that's 60 by 90. That's, you know, the smallest lot in my subdivision. But I owe too much on the house, so if I was to sell it, I wouldn't get what I owe.
Right, you'd have to bring money to closing.
Right, and... So, and it's already been discussed, you know, my two sisters want me to come back to Skokie, and there's no way in heck I would go back into Skokie, no.
But somewhere where there was population, where you had people around you, I'd really like that.
Right.
Now, of course, while I don't always think it's a great idea, but if it's only the house that's holding you back, you could file bankruptcy on it.
I already filed bankruptcy in 2011.
Okay. Well, you're eligible to do it again.
Right. And I'm sure my vision would help my cause.
Well, I mean, all sorts of things. So I really would be working on getting somewhere where you're closer to services and all that, because right now you're sort of in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's great that somebody's been helping you all along, but you just can't live your life depending on other people because they may not come through for you. So we need to get you independent with accessibilities because clearly, sadly, you're not going to be able to depend on your vision. So this is the time to learning all the accessibility tricks you can.
Right. And I have Wall to Wall. That's the transportation company for senior citizens that only covers in Walworth County.
Right.
But so I have them, and I'm going to call them tomorrow for my appointment next Thursday.
Good.
So
excellent.
You know, and they've helped me several times already.
Excellent.
And it's only $3 one way, so it's $6 trip. You know.
Yeah, which is great. No, that's a wonderful service.
And then if I call the taxi cab company, they're only do Whitewater. They won't even leave the Whitewater city limits.
Yeah, so that won't work.
But then I found out it would be like $30-some.
No, that's not going to be an answer, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have Wall to Wall, but they have VIP transportation. If I needed to go to Janesville, but you know, they said it's like $15 one way and $15 back.
Right.
But, you know, it's a lot better than, you know, not getting my prescriptions, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So, I just want to find a way for you to be able to get things, and particularly get things online and be able to get them done without having to physically go everywhere.
Right. And like I said, I've been, you know, I'm not sitting on my butt. I've been working on things.
Good.
But it was just good. It was just everything just overwhelmed me yesterday.
Yeah, and I understand
And then I was and I did something stupid.
Well, you're paying for it today in the pain you're feeling, and you know that'll hopefully stop you from doing it again soon. You'll remember this.
Right. Well, there's no more left.
But there's always more if you really look. We don't want you to do that.
Right.
So, good.
I thank everyone, and I apologize to you and John for my actions yesterday.
No.
So.
Understandable, Jim. Now, hang on. I'm going to give you John, and he's going to give you the number. He'll tell you all about it, and give them a call. Don't go away. All right. So, that would be wonderful to have contacts close by. So we're putting Jim on hold, and very understandable. All right. So 888-876-5593. That means Gary is in Austin. So, Gary, how are you? Are you still with us, Gary? We've lost Gary. Oh, we were going to talk about Elvis and Sha-na-na. Well, maybe Gary will call back. All right. Or maybe he is there and I'm just not hearing him. So I hope he'll call back. In any event, I was looking at Elvis hits as far as that goes. Because as I said, it really, as far as the pop world, dried up by the end of the 60s. Now, in country, he did very well. And in fact, at the time of his death, he had a number one record on the country chart, way down. The flip side, interestingly, was Pledging My Love. And before that, he had Moody Blue, which was number one, which is good. He had Hurt, number six in 76, and some other other top 10 stuff in 74 as well. So, he was quite the country act at that point. Not the pop popularity, but he was still, like I say, in Las Vegas, especially at the Las Vegas Hilton. He was selling them out, and so that was terrific. But still, from what I understand, the estate was not what you would expect. Well, of course, Colonel Tom Parker was in the mix, so maybe the estate was exactly what you'd expect. But assuming that not the case, but it really was miraculous how Priscilla and her advisors really, really turned that around. And that part of that was, of course, marketing him. And Colonel Tom Parker was shameless as far as that goes. But so 888-876-5593. And yes, we'll get to these. I can't believe I'm even going to talk about this, but it is just so, so truly odd to have a warning from the state of Texas about man-eater screwworms that lay eggs in flesh. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Chuck Mangione, Land of Make-Believe. And Donna in Chicago wanted to hear that, 1973 on Mercury. All right, so Gary has called back. We'll see how it goes. Gary, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I don't know why my other phone didn't want to be. It might not have liked the subject I wanted to talk about. I don't know.
Well, let's hear it.
But I was just thinking about, first quickly about Sha-na-na, and when you played... the
Chantilly Lace.
Yeah, when you played that, and you'd said by Jaco, and I thought, yeah. Oh wow, Jaco Henderson.
No.
And then I realized it was the guy of the band named Jaco.
Yeah, right. The drummer. Yes. Absolutely not Jaco Henderson. But that'd be nice. I'd love to hear that.
Because yeah, I've always thought Sha-na-na was kind of just boring.
Well, they were one of they were same as Flash Cadillac and the Continental Kids. They were just recreation groups, and it wasn't my cup of tea either, but it was Jim's request, so I played it.
Oh, sure. I think I liked Are You in the Top 40, the Lordy that I think.
Oh, yes, absolutely, but that ain't Jaco. Yes.
No, it's not, but that's the thing I really liked by them. But about Elvis, when he died, I was in my early 20s, so... And I went from when I was a kid, he was very big and such in the late 50s, early 60s. And then he sort of became, I guess, a caricature of himself around the mid 70s, I guess.
Yeah, he'd put on a lot of weight, and but he was, like I say, he was still having number one country records, and he was selling out the Las Vegas Hilton. But I still say, yeah, people who weren't there at the time just looking at chart numbers say, oh, see, he's still really popular. No, he was a joke of his former self.
Yeah, and I heard that live album where he forgets the lyrics and Artie Lonesome Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just... How could they even put that out? I don't know.
Painful. You know, truly painful.
I mean, I would never, and I'm not an Elvis fan by any means at all, but I would never put that out.
I agree.
And it's just, I guess they're just looking for the almighty buck, but I think I might have somehow burned that.
Yeah, or edited it in some way, you know.
Yeah, some way.
That was just terrible. And, of course, I'd love to say that, well, eventually he got rid of Colonel Tom Parker, but Tom Parker lived until 1997.
Yeah, so, Tom Parker had a long, long life after that.
Yeah, and he was just unmerciful. I guarantee you that's how Elvis got into substance abuse and things like that, because they were working him to death.
Sure.
So,
Yeah,
it. And then, of course, when he first started to lose any record sales in the British invasion and all that, then Parker had him make the films.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Of course, you know. Hey, for better or worse, I guess, but lots of parodies on that. He was his manager until Presley died.
Yeah.
And I think that Parker managed his estate after Elvis died. And he had previously sold the rights to the early recording, the Sun stuff and all that, to RCA. And that was not good. And then Parker became a gambler. And so he was in Las Vegas, and he certainly didn't do right. But like I say, Priscilla turned Graceland into an attraction. And, I'm sure it was her advisors and all that, and we'll leave them out of the picture, and I could have some comments. But the bottom line is that it was successful. It took something that was nothing and made it a real money-making attraction.
And the city of Memphis thanks her every morning.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah, so I guess that was the one thing Parker couldn't get his hands on, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, he was, on the one hand, you can say, yes, he certainly built Elvis up. But of course, we could fight back and forth whether his influence mattered as much as he thought it did. But on the other hand, no doubt, he worked him into the ground.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Just some thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just one quick thing for Jim is that for many, many years, I would go to grocery stores by myself, and generally a clerk would take me through, and we'd go through and get what I wanted. And
sure.
There were some stores where certain clerks would tell the management when he comes in, let me know. I'll take him through. So, and you get, I listen to people's problems. I made them laugh. I listen to them cry.
Right.
You know, I good helpers, bad helpers, and, you know, so he shouldn't have any problems going through the store with a clerk. And if he wants to change what he gets, he can, you know, they'll walk through. They got to walk through the, you know, the frozen dinners to get to the frozen tacos. So he can change all that on the fly. So
yeah. Well,
I'm glad he's starting to do some of these things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I need to get him independent. If I have any goal in this, I just, he can't rely on, you know, other people like he has been able to up till now. He needs to, you know, find a way to do for himself, and he will.
If you want it done right, you got to learn how to do it yourself.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's out of my life. And
well,
I, you know, learn that accessibility stuff any way you can.
That's right. And, you know, as you well know, it's such a godsend because there are so many things that can make you independent in terms of the accessibility world today, the last 10 years alone. But, you know, there's so many things. And, you know, he should be able to get a device that he could walk through the supermarkets himself and read every label.
Yeah, well, there are some apps that are getting close to that.
Yeah.
That he can put on his iPhone.
That's right.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, learning how to use them and stuff, but he's, you know, he can do it.
I agree, and we're going to see to it that he does. You've ended the half hour. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, great, thanks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. And we'll find out what's going on with the news. Then we got James and his 9 zillion stories, including this flesh-eating thing on WGN Radio.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a and the sweet silver song of a lover. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blow. Walk on, walk on, with a hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, it's Elvis. Sam from Gurnee wanted me to play that for Jim from Richmond, so indeed, you'll never walk alone. That was 1971, and to tell you how Elvis had fallen by that point, we're talking about, instead of it being on the RCA imprint itself, it was on Camden. Yeah, the 8-track tape was on Pickwick. But so, yeah, they were already looking at budget. But that was also in the gospel vein. It was considered to be a gospel album, actually, with the Jordan Ayers, with Let Us Pray and Who Am I and I Believe and a bunch of other things as well. But yes, You'll Never Walk Alone. So there you go, Jim, and there you go, Sam. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, now we've got James, the man of 4,938 stories. Okay. So, first, James, one admonition. Do me a favor, okay? Do not send me stories that take place in foreign countries.
Okay.
See, I start reading them, and I think, this will be great. And then it's like the wilds of wherever. No.
Oh, yeah. I find that happening, too.
Right.
And then when I try to switch off of it, and I find, uh-oh,
don't
this doesn't work too well.
Yeah, don't send them. All right. So, yeah, I mean, read them before you even think of sending them, as far as that goes, because it's just too many. Like, I just had to trash, like, about 50 things you sent. So, but I've got the Texas warning of man-eater screwworms. I'm like, what the? And this is a real deal. It's an advisory that the state of Texas posted on December 30th, and it was issued for outdoor enthusiasts in South Texas. Apparently, there's a new world screwworm, and fortunately, I'll say it at the outset, not in people yet, but found in a cow in Mexico. And so the Texas folks are very, very worried about this because of what it is. It's the New World screwworm. Apparently, they burrow into the flesh of a living animal and they cause serious, deadly damage to the animal. And so it infects livestock, pets, and all that. And the maggots will lay eggs in open wounds or orifices of live tissues. Oh, God, I don't even want to go on. But yes, so something else to worry about, the New World screwworm.
Yeah, as if we didn't have things with bird flu.
Yeah. You got to talk directly into the phone.
Okay. So you didn't have to worry about bird flu with eggs and dairy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Then we have a whole spate of people who decided they were going to be stowaways. And we have this story recently about two bodies discovered in JetBlue passenger plane after it lands in Florida. And obviously they discovered them dead in the wheel well of an Airbus during a post-flight inspection. What I want to know is how on earth do these people think that they're going to survive that flight?
I don't either, because first off, I mean, you're up there and it is extremely cold at that level. And, I mean,
well, there's lack of oxygen, too.
Yeah, so you're either going to die from asphyxia or for frost.
Right, and so, you know what I was saying, nobody's ever survived, but of course we don't know that, because if they did survive, they'd run off the tarmac and we'd never hear from them again. But I would assume that they don't. Now, this happened on a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Maui, another body discovered. And as I was saying last night, I somewhat wonder whether some of these people, maybe they were dead before the flight.
Yeah, then I'm reminded of, like, if you remember the unfortunate thing, we will not go into it, about early in the Biden, where there was, like, people who were trying to escape from a certain country, and they were trying to get into the wheel well.
Oh, I don't know about this. I'm probably glad I don't know about this. But anyway, yeah. I still have to wonder how anybody in their right mind would think that this was something that would probably work. But there you have it.
Yeah.
Two more. So then we have the Verizon settlement. I am absolutely not a fan of class action lawsuits. They only make the lawyers rich, and sometimes the lead plaintiff, sometimes. But while the lawyers get very wealthy, in this case, last year, a year ago, Verizon agreed to pay $100 million to settle this class action suit in New Jersey, as it turns out, the Superior Court, State of New Jersey, because they, on postpaid wireless phones, were putting administrative fees which were not disclosed in a deceptive and unfair manner. Okay, so it goes to court, and customers are pretty excited because this was for people who had bought these phones between January 16th and November 23rd, January 16th of 2016 and November 8th of 2023. So that's a good long period there, a nice 7 years easily. And so they think, okay, good, I'm going to get some money. Well, one of them is now saying, not even $15. Another one said, hey, that's pretty good. They sent me three. So the settlement said you could get up to $100. No. And $100 million. Now, how much money did those lawyers make? This is just wrong.
I think they probably... I suspect the lawyers in the lead plaintiff.
Right, did well.
Probably, I think got made off like Ben.
That's right, and everybody else got somewhere between $3 and $15.
Yeah.
So And what they originally said was the initial minimum allocated amount would be $15 plus $1 for every month your account received postpaid wireless or data services. All right, well, whoop-de-doo as far as that goes. So they're saying if you have not filed a valid claim yet, well, come on. I think it's too late for that, but why bother?
So, yeah, if you're going to only get, let's put it this way, there is only be enough for you to buy a book of stamps.
Right, right, exactly, to file a claim. That's exactly it. So that was rather sad. This one I would have covered. I will mention it, though. At first I thought, well, this is pretty good. Student driver fails after smashing into traffic light, unfortunately, in the wilds of England. So we'll leave that one where it is. But yeah. More, we have plenty of airline horrors, and I talked about some of those earlier, like the guy who got urinated upon. That was just horrible. But now we have passengers kicked off flight with nowhere to go. This is JetBlue. A flight home to Boston from Turks and Caicos. It was delayed 24 hours by the airline. They did not provide any arrangements for the travelers, who say they were traumatized after being kicked out of the airport with their families on a Saturday night. Yeah, that would be a problem. Flight's going to be delayed. Okay, get out of the airport. Well, and so apparently they must have been in the Turks and Caicos when they were removed from the airport. But that is frightening. You know, you're there. You're with your family. The airport saying we're closed. Get out of here. Where do you go?
Yeah, you can't go back to your hotel. That's right.
No. One passenger said he eventually paid $1,000 for an Airbnb that he fit 10 people into in a horrible, sketchy part of town. He said the area was something like a horror movie. Wild dogs were chasing the cab as we were driving by. The kids are freaking out, like, what are we going to do? And JetBlue said it was heavy air control congestion and extended holding. And then they apologized for those in a frustrating situation. No, I don't think you get to leave them at the airport and then have the airport close. So then they said that they would passengers could submit reimbursement for up to $200 travel credit. Okay, and out-of-pocket movable expenses. Yeah, most of the passengers were unimpressed. They said this was far beyond a delay. This was sending people into the streets in a third world country at the wee hours of the night and asking them to fend for themselves with no solutions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Of course, then you wonder, why were they vacationing in a third world country anyway? But that's a different subject, I guess. So we have plenty of cruise ship horrors. Of course, when a passenger dies from eating the food. But we're talking about norovirus, and now, as some of your articles point out, we're looking at entire cruise lines being concerned about norovirus and other problems. So yeah. Where was that? You had a couple of them in a row.
I know. I wouldn't be interested in a cruise. I'd say, no. I think if I wanted to run into some troublesome virus, all I have to do is wait here.
Okay. No. Now we have airline passengers finding bed bugs in their seats. What carrier is this? All right. Oh, Turkish Airlines. You see, this is the kind of thing you can stop. There's really no reason. I'm sure they found a bird's nest in the cockpit as well. But no. But there is a new breed of invincible bed bugs that are 20,000 times tougher to kill. Just what you need if the burrowing worms didn't get you. And in this case, a new strain of bed bugs, virtually indestructible, with 729 mutations. Now, of course, here again, this is at Hiroshima University. All right. We don't really know the status of the bed bugs. Let's see what else.
The only thing I would be hoping for is that, hey, they stay there, don't come to this country.
Yeah, well, right, and I'm sure they're going to heed your warning. So, yeah, a number of fine stories, including several that did happen in America. The one that happened in Germany, I thought, was a worthwhile story. I was talking about that surgeon who caught cancer from a patient. We talked about that early on, and so
I did manage to, but I had fallen asleep. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no problem. That's all right. If I'm a sleep aid, hey, then I've really done my job. All right. So, yes, Carnival Brands admits they're facing a growing norovirus problem. And so apparently norovirus outbreaks are hitting their highest levels in over a decade. And, you've got a number of stories there. And five cruise ships from Cunard, Holland America, and Princess Cruises, all that's Carnival-owned brands, reported norovirus outbreaks in December alone. So the outbreak is declared when 3% or more of the ship's passengers and crew come down with gastrointestinal problems. Yeah. And
I wouldn't exactly want to. I probably would lock myself in a room and say, no, I'm not taking any food from you.
Yeah. Well, as usual, a wonderful group of stories, but now that we've decided we can't fly and we can't go on cruise ships, I guess we're going to stay home.
All right. The only thing that worries me is, okay, driving. Oh, hey, what else can they, what other crazy, like there was like a crazy, okay, on the, I think it was earlier, it was yesterday, where they were and some armed up down on the, they come to the south side. They come from out of the sea into the south side. They finally caught up with them.
Well, yeah. Now, remember that, of course, most accidents happen within 3 miles of the home. So I guess we can't go home either. So I don't know. Maybe outside the airport in the Turks and Caicos. I'm not sure. All right. So very good. And, of course, we didn't even get to the P&O cruise ship passenger, like I say, who died, norovirus. So I'm going to risk it. I'll stay home. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate them all.
Okay.
All right. Good deal.
You have a good day. You have a good day. Okay.
Yeah, you too.
That's it. Okay. Take care.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We're going to get to Donna in Chicago, but I'm not sure if I did what I was supposed to this hour. So in case I didn't, I'm doing it now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We were talking about Brent Records earlier and yesterday, and that's another Brent Records. Yeah, the original, the Donnays, A Devil in His Heart. That was a B-side. Bad Boy was the A-side, and of course the Beatles covered it, and there was a reason that I promised I was going to play it, and I have no idea what that might be now. But Donna is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you. Thank you so much for playing my Chuck Mangione song. I loved it. Loved it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And it's so nice to hear. Yeah, it's so nice to hear from Jim.
Yeah.
I wish him better and better and better as he goes on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you got the weirdest stories.
I know.
What's going on in the world? Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, we try to stay away from the things that matter. So I go out on a limb and look for the obscure stuff.
Well, you find them. That's for sure.
All right,
sure. That's why we like you.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, good. Talk to you soon. All right, so very, very happy to play Chuck Mangione, Land of Make-Believe. And I missed some requests tonight. In fact, I think there's an email from Johnny D. I haven't seen it yet, but I bet you it says, did you play my request? Well, that's why we have tomorrow night. Three big hours tomorrow night, don't you know? That's right. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and I'm sure I'll find another zillion stories. And, of course, as I say, we thank James on the South Side, who keeps feeding me a ton of stories, and they're interesting in and of themselves. So let's, in the waning moments, let me see what else, because the world's best show prep, of course, is Carol Ford. Doesn't get better than that. So is there anything I'm missing on today? And we went over the birthdays early. Yes, of course, Elvis and everybody else. So it was on this date that Bill Haley, I remember this story, by the way, hard to believe, but it was on this date in 1957 that Bill Haley had refused an Australian tour. And he refused it because some of the comets were afraid to, comets were afraid to fly. And so apparently he instead went somewhere else without the comets, from what I know. And Laverne Baker and Joe Turner were on the bill, which made it worthwhile going. But yeah, I remember turned it down because the comets weren't flying. Yeah, well, you know, you look at what's going on today, and I don't blame them. But in 58, it was a nice thing. All right. 1958 on television, The Big Record, Patti Page introduced Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah, they were the musical guests. On this date in 1966, TV Shindig. That was the final episode of Shindig? Wow. This date in 1966. And who was on it? The Knickerbockers. Well, that would end any show. Dick and Dee Dee, The Blossoms. Oh, gotta love The Blossoms. Jackie DeShannon and Bobby Sherman. All right, so that's what you have. And on this date in 68, sadly, Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, was released a month and a half after his death. So posthumous hit, biggest hit in posthumous. Also, it was this date in 1966 that She's Just My Style by Gary Lewis and the Playboys peaked at number three, proving that Snuff Garrett was the world's greatest producer. He could even make Gary Lewis and the Playboys sound good, and he did on a lot of those records. All right, so I think that that's close to a wrap. We could go on from there. Let me see. Is there anything about today that I'm missing? No, I think we're safe. It is the Earth's rotation day today, and we're still here. So on that note, if we're here 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Talk to you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.